I'm guessing that you heard the one about old Jake. I'm thinking most of you might have. Old Jake had cut firewood by hand with a Swede saw for a living for going on 50 years. He averaged about 4 cords a day. Is that realistic? I don't know. That's what the story says. He averaged about 4 cords a day. And his son came home from college and was watching the old man work and said, you know, you probably could cut 10 times as much if you bought yourself a chainsaw. Not interested in those newfangled things, Jake said. His son returned to college and Jake began to think that maybe the young guy was right. His old body seemed to ache more and more at the end of the day. So he went into town and bought a brand new top of the line chainsaw. The first couple days were not very productive. He only cut 1 cord each day. By the third day, he had cut 3 cords, but he was dead tired. This is not working, he thought to himself. My son said I should be able to cut 10 cords a day. I'm taking this stupid thing back. The next day, he was in the hardware store complaining to the sales clerk about his lack of production. The blade seems a bit dull, but not that bad. Let's start it up, the clerk muttered as he pulled the starting cord. Whoa! What's that noise? What's that noise all about, right? Well, it's good that even when we've heard things, if we have, we can laugh again. Well, this is Father's Day. And we are wishing a happy Father's Day for all the dads who are here today. We acknowledge you even as we have, and we honor you, dads. For you, and for really for everyone else who's here today, we're going to think about the Father's Day. Today on Father's Day, let's think one more time, or at least in this little series we've been in, we'll think once more about Sabbath. And today we'll call it the Father's Day, our Heavenly Father's Day, the day of rest, that He modeled and that He commanded that we take, okay? And I think this will be the last day I sit in the chair. All right, so we've been talking about Sabbath. Do you remember some of the places in the Word, in God's Word, where we read about Sabbath, where we hear about Sabbath? Where's probably the first time we hear about Sabbath? Hello? Genesis. Anybody got be more specific? It's Genesis, more specific. Creation. Genesis 2, verse 3. There we go. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it He rested from all the work of creating that He had done. Genesis 2, 3. And then we get to the commandment about Sabbath. Remember where that is? Exodus, let's put it up there. Exodus, there we go. Exodus 20, 8 through 11. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. And we're going to talk a little bit. You'll be listening for what that means, to keep it holy. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. And it goes on and on. And the reference, the reason for doing it here is down in verse 11 and so on. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that's in them. But He rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. So the reference is to creation there. There's another listing of the Ten Commandments. This is Exodus. Where's the other one? Deuteronomy 5, 12 to 15. And we'll put that up there. And very, very similar to what we have in Exodus, with a little twist. There's the reference at the end of it or kind of the rationale for obeying the Sabbath and observing the Sabbath has to do with liberation. It has to do with being freed. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. So those references to the Sabbath. Other references that we might think of, other things that come to your mind from the Word about Sabbath?
No.
Okay. Luke doesn't have any. Some of the rest of you might. You remember from the Word and from history, we remember that the Jews took the Sabbath and they layered it with many, many, many additional regulations. They just piled it up with all kinds of stipulations and regulations. How about, what do you think of if we talk about Sabbath in the New Testament? Anybody? Okay, it's several of the Gospels and a number of references to Jesus getting in trouble. The religious leaders, the bigwigs, got on his case because he was not observing the Sabbath in their eyes. Really, what he was doing was not adhering to all of the layer upon layer of rules that they had added. But Jesus was criticized. I want to give you two other things. I have mentioned to you and a great resource, a wonderful resource for me in studying about Sabbath was Mark Buchanan's book entitled The Rest of God. Double meaning, it's the rest that God gives us, but in doing that, we learn more of God. We get to know God better, and so there's more of God that, if we can say it that way, the rest of God comes to us as we observe the rest of God. And then I'm going to give you a reference, and I have to admit that I'm not going to refer any more to this today, and it's probably another entire message or a couple of messages, but sometime later maybe, and that's Hebrews chapter 4. And I know when we talked about this in Sunday school, someone had mentioned Hebrews 4. Hebrews chapter 4 has a lot to talk about, not so much about the Sabbath, but about the rest of God, the salvation and the fullness and the provision and the peace and the I don't know what else to say, the incredible fullness of God that there is for us in life and as we journey on through life and look forward to what he has in mind. So I'm hoping that some of you might pick up a copy of The Rest of God by Mark Buchanan, and I'm hoping that you'll look into Hebrews chapter 4 and there's some wonderful stuff there. Okay, but today, let's consider how doing Sabbath, and by that, you know, and we've alluded to this, that might be Sunday. Maybe for some it's Sunday. It might be other days of the week. But it's taking a regular rest. By doing Sabbath, how doing Sabbath can bring great blessing and many benefits to our lives. It's like learning how to pull the cord on the chainsaw and get the motor running, you know. It works much, much better that way if you do it. And similar, if we learn to observe regular rest as God has asked us to, life works much better. For thinking about the benefits of Sabbath, the great benefits of the Father's Day, we're going to use the old three R's, but not reading, writing, and arithmetic. But we're going to talk about rest, relationship, and renewal. Okay? First of all, when we observe Sabbath, we receive the benefit of rest. And I guess it's kind of obvious. It's really obvious. But observing Sabbath, we get the benefit of rest. It feels good to rest. Right? It feels good to rest. Especially when we've been hard at it. Look at this interesting verse, Ecclesiastes 5:12. Hard and honest work earns a good night's sleep, whether supper is beans or steak, but a rich man's belly gives him insomnia. You know, it's an interesting verse, you know. And I think there are a couple other verses that are very similar to that. But here it says, you work hard, and when you get rest, it's a sweet thing, a good night's sleep. Job longs for some rest. I have no peace, no quietness. I have no rest, but only turmoil. In Exodus 33:14, we read, the Lord replied, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. There's rest to be enjoyed in the presence of God. Isaiah 32:18, my people will live in peaceful dwelling places, in secure homes, in undisturbed places of rest. And how about this very familiar one, the 23rd Psalm? The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. That sounds restful. That sounds restful. Along the path of life, our bodies let us know that we need rest. And they respond with appreciation when we get some rest. God's word assures us of our need for rest and of his provision of rest. And behind and beneath the scenes, the evidence is there regarding the blessing and the benefit of rest. I was poking around on the internet, and I came across something from someone that they call the Rest Doctor. And it was in an article, and I want to quote a little bit from an article called The Joy of Rest. Some fascinating things here. I don't have it up on the screen, but listen carefully. The joy of rest, the benefit of rest. Rest is the original transformative technology. That's interesting. Rest is the original transformative technology. Through rest, we rebuild, rewire, and renew ourselves, literally. The process is fast. The skin on your face is replaced in 2 weeks. Gut lining cells take 2 days, and that's complete replacement. Partial rebuilding is even faster. A recent article in the New York Times looked at autophagy, how cells internally recycle. Heart cells may last 50 years, but their subcellular innards are functionally replaced in 3 days. Those proteins pumping away may last 30 or 60 minutes before they're dumped and made into something else. In the ways that matter, you are getting a new heart in 3 days, a process that takes place during rest. There's physical rest, I continue quoting, there's physical rest, mental rest, social rest, and spiritual rest, all of which can provide pleasure and joy throughout the day and the night. In sleep, we grow new brain cells. In sleep, we lay down and rewire memories. No sleep, no new brain cells. Every night, we have rewired, rebuilt, reset, reconstructed, and redone our brains. We are not machines. Our computers and our cars don't care whether it's 4 p.m. or 4 a.m. We do. And our alertness and pleasure, our capacities and worries cycle throughout those 24 hours. And I end my quoting from the Rest Doctor. We need physical rest. We get to rest from our labor. We need it, and we enjoy it when we get rest. Letting go of the burdens and the concerns and the responsibilities. Feet up on the table, head back, lying down on the couch, a cool pillow drifting, napping, waking to a great, unhurried cup of coffee, taking a break. And now I'm going to read from my notes as I put them down. As I'm writing this, and that was on Friday, as I'm writing this, I'm feeling uptight, stressed. I'm thinking about many things, things to do, things undone, travel to do again tomorrow. That would have been yesterday, 250 miles. Some good things to do, but... Oh, and then Sunday, bringing the message. But that's now, isn't it? That's right now. How good it would be just to take a break. Just to take a break. How good it is to be able to take a break and rest. We need and we enjoy the rest that God gives us. We might, as we think about these things, we might recall Jesus' invitation. Here it is from Matthew 11:28. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That's from the NIV. You know I like the Message. Here's from the Message. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Like that? I like that. One of the great God-given ways that we can get rest, that we can enjoy rest, that we can come to the Lord for rest, is by doing some kind of Sabbath. I think I'd like to do a better job of that. No, I think I'd just like to rest in that. I'm tired of trying to do a better job and all kinds of things. I'd just like to rest in that. How about you?
Amen.
Observing the Sabbath can bring us the wonderful benefit of rest, and then it brings us the benefit of relationship. Jesus invites us to come to Him and to find rest, a special, enjoyable, needed rest. And in so doing, we not only find rest, but we find the one who knows us and who knows that we need rest, who knows that we need Him. In probably one of the most unnerving, restless, worrisome events of our lives, when our nation came under attack, on September 11th, 2001, our nation turned to one scripture more than any other. It was referenced and it was clung to by millions upon millions of worried and weary people. It was Psalm 46, and we saw it popping up all over the place. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice and the earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. He says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. He says, be still and know that I am God. When we are under literal attack, when the future is unsure, when we are worried, when we are weary, when we are just totally pooped out, when we are weary of the endless, meaningless, tiring cycles of everyday life, be still and know that I am God. To know that God is God, to be still and to know God, not only gives us some peace and some rest, but it gives us a deepening, wonderful relationship with the only one who can still the storms and who can bless our days with peace and energy and meaning and endurance and joy. If God is in the midst of the mess, and if I know Him, well, then, you know, what a blessing. What a blessing. Right smack dab in the midst of it all. Be still and know that I am God. When we are still, when we take a break regularly, we have time to get to know God better, to hear Him, to contemplate, to appreciate, to stand in awe of His grandeur and of the majesty of His goodness. Almighty, Creator, Savior, Papa in heaven. So what are the benefits? What are the benefits of knowing that He is God? Well, I pray that you, that I, that we will discover more and more of that by being still and by experiencing the rest of God. We might think of it as an opportunity to hang out with God. That's for the young people, and to sit down together at the pantry with God for the rest of us, you know, just to spend some time with Him. And Sabbath, or regular rest, can also bless us with the benefit by giving us time and space for other relationships as well. Relationships with one another as family, as the family of God, and as those not quite yet in the family of God. As we stop working, doing all of our necessary stuff, we have time for God and time for the precious people God made and wants to bring home forever. I remember it was a Sunday afternoon, and my dad brought home the puppies that their mama had delivered under some kind of shelter up at the elevator that Dad managed. We sat in the living room floor with towels spread out on the floor and puppies. I don't remember how many puppies, but I remember it was plural. There were puppies, and we played. And it was a good day. It was a good day. I remember, too, the Sunday afternoons that, couldn't get away with this now, but that Dad would pull us around town on the snowy streets on our toboggan behind our station wagon. And I remember Dad's grace when I got to drive the station wagon and pull some of the others, and I don't think I had a license, I don't know why, but I burned out the clutch. And he was gracious. I remember, too, sitting around the table as family and sometimes with others, relatives and others who joined us. Those are good, restful times. My brother and his wife over in Wilmer, have been part of a small group at their church that has focused on visiting shut-ins on Sunday afternoons. And sometimes, and these are several couples and individuals who really love being together, and sometimes they'll bring supper or just bring a snack and go to a home or a nursing home or somewhere, and maybe they'll watch the Vikings or watch the Twins. That wouldn't be very much fun right now, but hang out with those folks, and sometimes they'll just go and make a visit and spend some time visiting, and then they go and have coffee together. I want you to watch this and think of the blessing of having time, of taking time for precious relationships.
Once per week, I take an alone night out to enjoy some simple solitude. This week, while reading a book at the local coffee shop, I called my husband to check in, to remind him to load the dishwasher, give our daughter her vitamins, and to make sure she had a bath. You know, the important things. We talked for a moment and then said goodbye, and I settled back into my book. But after a minute, I heard a voice from my phone. I picked it up and realized that neither of us had actually hung up. What I heard was awesome. He was busy pretending, giggling, and laughing with our 5-year-old. I listened, I smiled, I laughed out loud. Forget solitude. I couldn't break myself away from the beauty of this moment. A father playing wholeheartedly, undistracted with his child. I felt a rush of thankfulness, so grateful that my daughter has an amazing father. When I got home that night, the dishes were still on the counter. The vitamins had not been given. Our daughter went to bed without a bath. But I found my husband fast asleep, snuggling his baby girl. I did the dishes, and I was thankful. To those fathers who are rising to the incredible challenge of relating with your kids, of engaging with them, of looking them in the eyes with love, your kids are blessed. Thank you. And happy Father's Day.
The benefit of rest, the benefit of relationships, and then taking a regular break, enjoying Sabbath rest, benefits us with renewal. Sabbath, again, whether it's Sunday or Friday or whenever it is, you can work it out regularly to take a break. Sabbath is a break. It's only a break, right? And then you've got to go back to the grind. But taking the God-given regular Sabbath break can have such a reinvigorating, rejuvenating effect that going back will be okay. It'll be all right. Might even be a delight to go back. Sabbath is a gift that blesses and enhances all of our days. All of our living. It's a gift. It's not a reward. I think Mark Buchanan gives us an important understanding. And I've been processing this, and I think hopefully I'm going somewhere with this. Hopefully you too. But listen to this. The lie the taskmasters want you to swallow is that you cannot rest until your work's all done and done better than you're currently doing it. But the truth is, the work's never done. And it's never done quite right. It's always more than you can finish and less than you had hoped for. So what? Get this straight. Get this straight. The rest of God, the rest God gladly gives so that we might discover that part of God that we're missing, is not a reward for finishing. It's not a bonus for work well done. It's sheer gift. It's a stop work order in the midst of work that's never complete, never polished. Sabbath is not the break we're allotted at the tail end of completing all of our tasks and chores, the fulfillment of all our obligations. It's the rest we take smack dab in the middle of them without apology, without guilt, and for no better reason than God told us we could. I like that. I like that. And that break, that gift, does wonders to re-energize us for the rest of the week, for life. When we stop for a break, when we spend it resting and deepening and enjoying our relationships with God and with others, our attitudes and our orientation to life is affected positively. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy is the command. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Holy means separate. It means distinct. The day of rest is not like other days, work days, because it's not work, you know, stop work. It's a different kind of a day, distinct day. It's holy. And its holiness is expanded by our paying attention to God and to His good gifts. Rabbi Abraham Heschel speaks of learning to sanctify time, or to find a sanctuary in time. Now, what do you think of when you hear the word sanctuary? I don't know if you're like me, but I think maybe a lot of people think, well, that's the probably the biggest room in the church, you know? That's where we're in the sanctuary, you know? We're in the worship center, whatever. When we lived in the Twin Cities, I remember one time when we were out driving, I don't remember what we were doing, but we were out driving somewhere, and we went by an incredible new development. It was a beautiful wooded development, and it was called The Sanctuary. The Sanctuary. There in the middle of city hurry and noise and pollution, there was this quiet, beautiful, inviting place. Sanctuary means a place of refuge or of safety. You know, wildlife sanctuaries, it's a place of refuge. It's a place of safety. It speaks of quiet and safe and restful. Sabbath, a sanctuary in time. Mark Buchanan adds this, sanctifying time adds richness to all time. Sanctifying some time adds richness to all time, just as an hour spent with the one you love brings light and levity to the hours that follow. To spend time with the object of your desire is to emerge not sullen and peevish, but elated and refreshed. You come away filled, not depleted. Spending holy, unique time with God, God who is eternal, spending time with Him gives deeper meaning to all the days of our lives that He gives us. We come to see the real opportunities of time, of hours and days that we have. We come to welcome even the things that interrupt our daily work, and we welcome them as good and as having potential for growth and for service. learning more, and I think we can learn as we sanctify time, learning more of the kingdom of God and of the sovereignty of God and of the provision of God gives richer appreciation for our involvement in the various things that He gives us to do in His wide and in His expansive kingdom. He gives us time to follow Him, to enjoy Him, and to serve Him in a rich array of ways. Farming, laboring, teaching, engineering, doctoring, parenting, preaching, serving on this church committee or with that community event. Whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. I'm looking forward to doing a message. It's probably going to happen around Labor Day. And as I've been studying about Sabbath and particularly about how it can renew our understanding of time and work and so on, I've got the title for the message. It's going to be Take This Job and Love It. And I think we can do that, especially as we learn to sanctify time. So we'll be looking. That's all I've got so far is the title. But I like the title. I like the title. Take This Job and Love It. Obeying and enjoying God through regular rest has the benefit of renewing and revitalizing us for the work and the regular stuff that we get to do and that we have to do all the other days of our lives. Sanctifying time, making time special and holy and unique is done by observing God's Sabbath, and it has great positive carryover, many benefits for the entirety of life. As we hear God say to us, be still and know that I am God. And then as we do it, we are strengthened, we are equipped, and we are enriched for life and for all the other days. So one man had challenged another. One man had challenged another to an all-day wood chopping contest. The challenger worked very hard, stopping only for a brief lunch break. The other man had a leisurely lunch and took several breaks during the day. And at the end of the day, the challenger was surprised and annoyed to find out that the other fellow had chopped substantially more wood than he had. "I don't get it," he said. "Every time I checked, you were taking a rest, yet you chopped more wood than I did." "But you didn't notice," said the winning woodsman, "that I was sharpening my axe when I sat down to rest." Sabbath is a time for rest. And in resting, our axes are sharpened. When we rest, our axes are sharpened. And it happens in many ways. And the benefits are seen in our daily lives. And just like last week, I thought, well, this is going to be short today, so we're going to have a little discussion time. Luke was checking with me earlier how long the message was going to be, because he's got stuff to do, and we've all got stuff to do this afternoon, right? We've all got stuff to do. So, you know, we're not going to do the discussion time now, but I'm going to give you some questions, and I hope you'll talk together about them and think about them. I hope you'll think about them. What do you think? What do you think are some of the ways that our axes are sharpened when we do Sabbath? You think about that. You talk about that. And you know what? I suspect that if you'll think about it and if you'll talk about it, even in that process, some sharpening will be going on. I think so. I hope that we will continue our conversation about Sabbath rest. I pray that we'll experience and enjoy this rest in some new and in some growing ways. And I want us to encourage one another in this goodness of this special gift of God. And I was thinking, you know, as we do that, I think our answer will be, when the waitress comes and says, can I get you some more coffee, or can I get you something else, or when all the commercials come flooding our way, or whatever, when life says, what else can I get you? You know, the way we say it today, I'm good. I'm good. And I think as we do Sabbath, more and more we'll find ourselves thinking and saying, no, I'm good. I'm good.